It's Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is the LCJ Q&A podcast. You can also read these interviews at animationscoop.com. Happy 25 years to Cartoon Saloon, one of the great animation studios out there, making incredible content for families, for animation fans, and their latest film, Puffin' Rock and the New Friends. You can watch it. It's available to rent or purchase at home on Google TV, Amazon Prime Video, and Apple TV starting Tuesday, April 16th. Joining me, director Jeremy Purcell and animation director Lorraine Lorden. Hi to the both of you.
Hello.
Hi.
It's lovely to be here.
Thanks for being here. Congratulations on the movie. I think it's so sweet. I think families are going to enjoy it. And this is a feature film adaptation, continuation of the popular Puffin' Rock TV series. Jeremy, you were the assistant director on that. How did it feel jumping back into this world and these characters?
Great. Like Puffin' Rock within the studio is such a loved production and people love working on it. So I was assistant director on it and very happily jumped back into the movie. Lorraine was the animation director on season two. And Nora, who was our background supervisor on the movie, was a background artist on the TV series. So we had quite three or four people, I think, who had worked on the TV series who were very happy to kind of jump back in to the movie.
Yeah, there was a lovely thing from the TV series to the feature film where a lot of artists who maybe got their first job on the series actually, you know, stepped up. Like myself, even I was animation director on the TV show and I was assistant director and I got to direct a sequence of the film, which is the flashback for Isabel. So I got to, you know, broaden my range, and we had a couple of artists with their very first job in the industry was Puffin' Rock, the TV show. And then they got to step up and be supervisors on the feature film. So it was, they all said how lovely it was to come back and come full circle, you know, and you know, round out this kind of movement of their career as well as their just love of the show.
That's amazing. That's really nice. I remember when I was in fourth grade and I learned a lot in science class about puffins. I'll never forget it. One of my favorite experiences from elementary school science. Lorraine, for you, what do you love so much about puffins?
It's interesting. It's challenging in a way that maybe other TV shows aren't, because we really take a very naturalistic approach. You know, we don't make our animals look like humans or move like humans. It's important to us. We do a lot of research about how they live and move in the natural world. We do take, obviously, a little bit of artistic license, but, you know, none of our characters, you know, have hands. And so we do have challenges that maybe other cartoons don't, that would maybe have more humanoid characters. So, and we do actually do a lot of research into all of the habits and the way that they do things. And then we try and introduce that, you know, our lovely narrator kind of expands on the information and like really makes it such an easy way to absorb some science, you know, and nature facts.
Yeah, the educational component to this is terrific. And I think kids are going to get so much out of it. And you're right about the narration. Jeremy, in working with Chris O'Dowd, a very talented actor, comedian, he's been in a lot of great movies and shows over the years. And what I love about his narration in this movie, Puffin' Rock and the New Friends, is that he's very present. He is an active participant in what's going on. How was it collaborating with him, bringing him in on this?
It was really great because he has his own children of that age. So he knows exactly what we really wanted to get with it, with the narrator, is that he's a father at night reading a story to his children. So you know what's coming up, and you know what you can be emotionally involved, and you can be portraying that excitement to the children or the sadness or anything like that as they're reading that book. So we wanted to try and carry that into a movie version of them. And I think he works really great in it.
Yeah, I think another aspect of it that's really nice for me is that he kind of asks the questions that we want to ask, you know, or he says the things that we want to say. Like he's almost, you know, our panto audience, he's like, no, it's over there, you know. So I think that's a really nice thing because it gives us, the audience, actually a voice, you know.
Yeah, we've actually had a couple of, in a few screenings that we've attended, we've actually had those audiences shout out and be those panto audiences and shout at particular moments of, no, it's not happening, like, it's not him, it's, this is happening and stuff, not to spoil the film, but they're trying to get.
But that's the lovely thing of watching something like this with children. They're so engaged and they're so, you know, passionate about it as well. So, and their sense of justice is so strong as well. So when they feel like something is unjust, they really proclaim, you know, for the character that's innocent. So that's actually one of the greatest joys for us. You know, you spend so long making it. And, you know, we're in our own little world and our own little bubble. But you get to bring it out into the world and you get to see these reactions and, like, sitting in an audience of kids, you know, they don't hold back.
Yes.
Yes, I'm glad. Yeah, young kids can be brutally honest, and I'm glad that they like the film and that they're invested in these characters like Una. And she goes on quite the journey along with new friends like Isabel and Marvin. So, Lorraine, how did you want to approach this story, giving these characters the ability to have these epic situations, sometimes intense situations, and allow them to grow?
Well, the funny thing is, when we thought about, you know, what children of that age might deal with, on a smaller scale, it might be something like, you're changing school and you're leaving all your friends behind and you have to make new friends and it's a really daunting situation. And then on a bigger scale, you might have to move country or across state lines or something like that. And, you know, there's bigger challenges in the world as well that facing many kids these days. But we wanted to be a story that could be as big or small as your world in a way. So we have three new friends that arrive on Puffin Rock. And in a way, they're all facing the same challenge. They're all arriving in a new place and they've got to make friends. They've got to try and adjust. And the thing that we really took into account is their different personalities meant that they're going to react to the same situation in a totally different way. And what we were really hoping to achieve with the story of that is that kids might understand, not only the kids that are moving, but the kids that are, you know, receiving these new visitors, that they can empathize with what they're going through and the challenges that they're facing, and that maybe they can be in a better position to be understanding and to help these new kids make that adjustment. You know, sometimes it's really hard for the new kid to be the first person to say hello, whereas you're in your safe place, so you can maybe take that step and say hello to them and, like, open the door for them. So I think it's a really important lesson for, you know, the people who are arriving, but also the people that are in situ to be welcoming, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of great themes and messages about friendship, meeting new friends, working together as a team, for sure. Puffin Rock and the New Friends is available to watch at home starting Tuesday, April 16th. I've got Jeremy and Lorraine here with me on the LCJ Q&A podcast. Jeremy, a lot of the movie is about protecting an egg and protecting your family. You have to protect these characters. These are beloved for fans who watch the TV show. Did you feel sort of a pressure in that same sort of way, parallel to the story that's going on?
Definitely, yes. Definitely a lot of pressure. They are beloved characters. And we knew that going from a TV series, which are maybe 7-minute episodes, 6-minute episodes, going up to a movie, we really wanted this to be like a first movie experience, either in the cinema or at home for children. So, but we wanted it to be a Puffin Rock experience. That was most important. Rather than just, oh, let's make a movie and, oh, we can do it in 3D and we can do it, like, we didn't want to leave the world of the TV series behind. So it very much still is a Puffin Rock world, a Puffin Rock experience, I think, just a longer story, maybe a bit more involved than some of the stories from the TV series. But all through the production process that we were working on it, I would constantly check Twitter or Facebook or stuff like that and just see what parents are saying about Puffin Rock and what people are talking about it. And they love Chris, they love the music, and they love the artwork. So it was like, okay, and the the one thing that kind of came out that we weren't sure was there, but it really came out in the research, was they love the pace and the slowness of it and the gentleness, particularly when we were going through the pandemic at the time. So having that kind of gentleness and that slowness in parts in the movie, we intentionally put that in, as you know, that's what Puff and Rock is known as, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, even though in some places in the film you need some conflict, and we do amp up the stakes a little bit, you know, we're very aware of our audience. We're very aware of like what they can manage. We never leave you in jeopardy for too long, because you know, it is a young audience. It's possibly younger than a lot of the other films that we make here. So there is that like awareness of, you know, who's watching this and what do we want to tell them, and how much, you know, how much we want to scare them. We want them to think about things, but we don't want them to ever be like anxious afterwards. You know what I mean? Everything like wraps up quite nicely, and in, you know, we kind of have this lovely resolution at the end where, you know, everybody is best friends and everybody makes up and everybody is safe. And I think that's important for this age group. I think when you're a little bit older, you can challenge them a little bit more, but we're very aware of, you know, where Puff and Rock sits in the world.
I love the gentleness to the pacing and the feel of it and what you do. And Lorraine, there are very pretty daytime sequences, and there are very cool looking nighttime sequences and some of those little more intense moments, but obviously not too intense for the audience you're going after. What would you say was more challenging, the daytime or the nighttime?
I guess the night, but mainly the storm. You know, weather is a big challenge for our teams, you know, and we start planning for those big sequences very, very early on in the day, because they are going to take a little bit longer. So we start them a little bit earlier and finish them a little bit later. And so those were the things, I think, where we took that extra time. We tried loads of things out as well before we got there, because it was not something that we had seen before in the TV show, you know, those big epic storms. Again, we're looking at it from a point of view of like, does this look like Puff and Rock? We're looking at it from a point of, is this too scary? And we're looking at it from a point of like, are we getting our story across? So we're, again, asking ourselves questions all the time about, are we on the right track? And hopefully we got there in the end.
As I mentioned off the top, Cartoon Saloon turns 25 this year with movies like Secret of Kells and The Breadwinner, which I love, and Wolfwalkers. Jeremy, how does it feel for this studio to be a quarter of a century old?
I joke with people. In fact, actually, both myself and Lorraine joined the studio in the last century. It was 1999 when we joined the studio out of college. And we have this kind of running joke in the studio of once you come to Cartoon Saloon, you never really leave. You might go and work somewhere else for a while, but you will come back again.
Yeah, they say you always come back.
You always come back. So this is actually my third time being back in the studio. So I've been here for almost the full 25 years. It's honestly great. Like we started out in a two-room kind of studio at desks. We had a drawing room and a computer room. So we didn't have assigned computers or anything like that. Everybody was working on paper at the time. So we've grown in that digital age of going from paper all the way through to something like Puff and Rock and other movies and TV shows that we work on now are almost fully entirely digital and stuff like that.
It's been a huge journey, yeah. You know, for the studio and for us to be along on the journey as well. You know, we feel really, really privileged. The studio is, again, there's nurturing more talent coming in all the time. We love working with new people as well. It's really interesting as well, the fact that we have traveled in our lifetime. We've gone from drawing with pencil and paper to everything in a computer, and the technology has changed, but in some ways it's exactly the same. We're still looking at the story, we're still looking at the visuals, we're still like listening to the voices. Some things don't change, you know what I mean? So it's just the way that we achieve what we're, our goals has changed, but what we're looking to do has not changed, if you know what I mean.
I think it's those, like the conversations that we had 25 years ago with Nora and Tom and Paul and Ross Church and Fabian and other people was still about the artwork and about the story and about the look. It's still the same conversations mm-hmm. now. We just get to maybe do it a little bit quicker than we did back then. But yeah, it's still exactly the same conversations. I think it's still like working on this movie, talking to Tom and Paul about it. It was still the story of still the posing the questions of about the story and
the characters
and the character of the journey and their arc. And you know, Tom asked me at one stage, was like, do you know what's personal to you in this movie? You need to make a film that's personal to you if you want to last the 3-year production process and stuff like that. So yeah, the technology has changed, but the conversations are still the same conversations coming into each movie, and it's still trying to make, I think, Cartoon Saloon has a certain reputation for a certain type of movie. So even though Breadwinner might be visually and set in a different place to, say, Song of the Sea, or now even Puff and Rock, I think still the themes and the commitment to story and the commitment to artwork is there in the three films, regardless of the actual final look and the final kind of thing. Like, it's still a Cartoon Saloon film, I think.
I think the thing about the changes in technology is that it has allowed us to continually evolve and progress and challenge ourselves more and strive. Like, I would say every single film we strive to improve, step up from the previous one. I don't think we ever want to rest on our laurels, basically.
Yeah. And Lorraine, I wanted to ask you before we go, and you've sort of already said this a little bit about what you stand for when it comes to Cartoon Saloon and how you feel this Puffin Rock movie stands for what Cartoon Saloon believes in. And clearly it is story, it is characters, it is heart, and what it all sort of means to you.
I think that can be applied again to all of the stories. But I do think, you know, Puffin Rock is, you know, has had a little bit of a longer gestation, actually, because we had like a little bit of time between the series and the feature film. But we were thinking about it, and I think that it had that time to marinate and develop and like find its core. And I think that's, I've noticed as well with some of the other directors that we never want to rush into something before it's ready. So I think that's a really important, and I think it's a thing that we've learned maybe over time. Maybe that's something that we've learned in the 25 years is to give that time at the beginning to find it. And as Tom said, you know, find the what's important to you and about it, about each film. So I think all of these things feed into how we approach every single project. And I think no matter the project, big or small, because obviously we've had short films, we've had feature films and TV series, I think it doesn't matter to us which it is, we approach it with the same amount of focus and passion. So I think that's what is really at the heart of Cartoon Saloon.
And a little inset inside the movie of a different style. I think we love to do, like Breadwinner had it and Wolfwalkers had Wolf Vision, and like we love a little kind of inset that's artistically challenging to us of a completely different style. So like putting something like that into like a preschool movie of trying to convey what memory would feel like to somebody and that kind of stuff, I think is something that Cartoon Saloon would not be afraid of doing. Like, okay, in a preschool movie, we're going to make a flashback and try to convey to 3, 4, and 5-year-olds what memory feels like, trying to remember something in this artistic ink watercolor style. And Tom, Paul, and Nora are like, okay, cool. Let's see what we could do. So yeah. I think it's that creative support, whereas other places might have been like, you're going to do what? Yeah.
The quality has always been there for Cartoon Saloon, and it continues with this really sweet new movie, Puffin' Rock and the New Friends, available Google TV, Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, starting Tuesday, April 16th. Jeremy Purcell and Lorraine Lorden, congratulations on this. Thank you so much for being here today on the LCJ Q&A podcast.
Thank you for having us. It was great. Great questions. And yeah.
Oh, lovely. I appreciate that very much. I am Lights, Camera, Jackson. For all these episodes, go to Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, lights-camera-jackson.com. And as always, read these Q&As at animationscoop.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A.